This coming Wednesday is Remembrance Day. At the 11th hour on the 11th day in the 11th month, many people in our nation and other nations in the Commonwealth will pause to remember the sacrifice made by hundreds of thousands, even millions of men and women throughout the last century who have given their lives to secure our freedom. Our lives have been changed, whether we know it or not, because of their willingness to change their lives, many of whom may be your great-grandparents or your grandparents, and for some, even your parents, have given up their lives for this. I wear a poppy as a symbol of my unity or allegiance to their efforts, their cause, and the positive effects it has had on my life. I never knew them. I'm not even related to them. But I am thankful, and their efforts continue to change the way that I view this country and the diversity of people who continue to call it home. Allegiances have a mysterious, undefinable quality to them. They invite reflection, they influence behavior, and they inspire others to similar change. Changing lives change lives. Prayer is one of the key means by which we demonstrate our allegiance as a church family. Last week we talked about baptism and communion. They both announce our decision to be part of the family of God. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we declare that through these two acts. Prayer is the means by which we participate as a church family in an ongoing manner in God's mission to the world. To pray is a means of ministry that is open to all generations, all languages, all physical abilities, at all ages and stages of life. Too often we relegate prayer as a last resort. We consider it sometimes a mark of defeat or embarrassment to admit that we need prayer. Yet prayer ought to be our first priority, our ongoing commitment, and our continual commitment. Another important caution is that many people believe that prayer is simply our words spoken to God. We can liken it to like placing an order at a drive-thru, always kind of waiting to see if God's going to supersize our order just because he can. And then we pull up, expecting everything to be exactly like we asked, because we asked, and should be ready at the time that we pull up. But let me be clear. There is no way that we can comprehensively cover all aspects of prayer in the time that we have today. And if you've been part of the SCMC over the last number of years, you may remember that we have spoken on this topic many times from different perspectives. So today, in keeping with our series, we want to focus on the significance of prayer as a church family. This passage in Colossians chapter 4, which we just read, is fitting for these purposes and will hopefully ignite a desire to go deeper and perhaps more involved in your commitment to prayer for the church family to which you belong. And if you belong to the SCMC, even better. The Apostle Paul, the author of this letter to a collection of churches in the city of Colossae, gives this concise instruction after having described the immeasurable value of having a relationship with Jesus. And then he outlines about how relationships should influence our human relationship, both at home and at work. He now gives three core truths regarding prayer. First is that prayer unites us with God the Father. Paul says, be devoted or continue in prayer, being watchful and thankful. This idea of devotion is so significant. You see, prayer is relational communication between God and us. It involves listening, thinking, and speaking. It is ongoing. The posture of prayer requires humility to be able to listen to God's perspective through His Word. One of the reasons why we have different people reading a psalm every Sunday is that in doing so, we are being intentional in listening to God's Word. You'll notice we then pray in accordance with what we've heard. And when we gather together as a church family in person, you'll often hear our music teams read a passage from God's Word. This is intentional, so that when we sing in response to the truth of God. And then when we come to studying the Word, we read the passage just like we did today, and then we respond through learning, and then we communicate back to God. And then often as we dismiss, we again read another Bible passage as a blessing or benediction. The Word of God is eternal. It is Spirit-inspired, and God's promise is that He will accomplish His purposes as His Word goes out. Everything else we do has a temporary shelf life. Our interaction with the Word of God places us in a position to consider, rethink, confess, correct, repent, and then commit our lives to fulfilling His will. Listening to God's Word is an integral part of informing our prayer. In effect, our gatherings could very rightly be considered prayer services. And I say that because very often, particularly for those who have a desire to communicate with God, it changes their perspective. We often become more watchful or more attentive to the circumstances in and around our lives as it relates to the truth that we've been learning. We're also led to give thanks to God for His generosity towards us, His forgiveness to us through Jesus Christ, His openness to us in communication, and His willingness to hear us. In one of the best books that I've most recently read on this subject, it's called Dirty Glory, Going Where Your Best Prayers Lead You, author Peter Grigg says this: "The most important discovery you will ever make is the love the Father has for you. Your power in prayer will flow from the certainty that the one who made you likes you. He's not scowling at you. He's on your side." Devotion in prayer is a consistent connection that is attentive to God and anticipates His responsiveness. Through prayer, our lives are consistently changing because of the power of God through His Spirit. And changing lives are used of God to change the lives of others. Now notice the second core truth. Prayer advances the cause of Christ. Listen again to Paul's words in verses 3 and 4. "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I proclaim it as clearly as I should." The purpose of the church is to glorify God through the advancement of His kingdom purposes, and it's not easy to figure out. There are doors that get closed, there are doors that are open just a little bit, and there are doors that are difficult to find. But God is the one through whom it is possible to discover these new openings, these new opportunities, this new insight, and to grant wisdom even for new directions in accomplishing His purposes. You see, the message doesn't change, but the means by which the message is communicated to others, it's going to continually change. And the reason for this, in all simplicity, is twofold. The first is that we face an enemy, Satan, the devil, the deceiver, the father of lies, who comes to steal and destroy. Satan knows that he will be defeated, but in the meantime, he wants to keep as many people away from Jesus as he can. His chief goal isn't necessarily to get people to sin or just to do bad things. His primary goal is to get you to minimize your view of God the Father as He is revealed to us in the Bible. If you find that you pray little, it's likely that you have come to believe that prayer doesn't really accomplish much. And if that's the case, then it's likely that you have a minimized view of God's desire to relate to you. And it's possible then that you've allowed Satan to deceive you into thinking this way. Jesus reminds us to continually pray against the evil one. Paul, in his letters in other places, also reminds us that the enemy isn't a person or a circumstance or even a political party, but the powers of darkness. Second, we have access to the example and the power of Jesus. In prayer, we have access to Jesus, and it's beyond our ability to understand. We're to submit to God and allow Him to work. He opens doors in His time. We're to be watchful for those opportunities and to be thankful for them. God wants to provide opportunities for us to talk about the mystery of Christ. Too often, I think we want to talk with certainty, as though we know all there is to know, or we feel we can't speak about Jesus because we don't know enough. Paul is encouraging us to talk about what Jesus is doing, even if you can't connect all the pieces. Let Him be at work in the lives of others. We often pray or learn to pray by concluding our prayers in Jesus' name. Why do we do that? Think about it for a minute. In fact, it might be a good conversation piece if you want to stop the video and do so, and then pick it back up in a moment when you're done. You see, when we pray in Jesus' name, we are submitting ourselves to His powerful authority. And we are aligning ourselves with His character, because Jesus, the Bible tells us, that Jesus is the one who is advocating or mediating or presenting our prayer to God on our behalf. And that the Spirit, sometimes when we can't figure out the words, the Spirit is translating those words for us. That should give us pause to consider how we speak to God. Are we learning to talk about to God about His kingdom values being evident in our lives here on earth as it is in heaven? Over and over and over again, we are challenged to consider how we communicate with God and encouraged to ask because God is ready to give. However, we need to pause and at times yield ourselves to His will being done for His eternal purposes. Jesus' example lends itself to that. You know, we are invited to participate in the unfolding of the kingdom of heaven. We get to point out the evidence of Jesus. Our collective prayer towards those ends is crucial. And as a church family, we ought to continually be praying for those who serve in leadership. The message doesn't change, but the means by which the message is communicated to others is going to continually change. In fact, throughout these last number of years, and more particularly in these last 8 months, we are seeing God provide new opportunities to reveal Jesus in new ways to new people. That's exciting. And I believe that that's in part because many of you have been praying for God's kingdom to advance through the SEMC as we serve, as we pray, as we respond in our neighborhoods, in our community. And if that's you, then thank you so much for your kingdom investment through prayer. Now that leads us to our third core truth about prayer as it's shown here in this passage. Prayer changes our interaction with others. You know, we wear a poppy in recognition of the men and women who have dedicated their lives to ensure and secure the freedoms that we enjoy. They are people who looked at the situation in the world around them and were not comfortable with doing nothing. They couldn't shrink back. They couldn't pretend as though it wasn't going on. They needed to be part of making a difference for a future that many of them would never see. The threats to freedom have changed throughout our lives. But their changing lives, their lives affected by it, have influenced or changed our lives. You see, changing lives change lives. Our lives impacted by our conversations with God as we listen, as we consider, and then respond back to Him, then moves us out into the lives of others. This is so important. Listen again to how Paul describes the way our interaction should look. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to respond to everyone. There is an assumption being made by Paul that our lives are intersecting with those who have yet to experience a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. They are outside of that understanding and experience. Not only are we to be intersecting with them, but we are to be thoughtful in the way that we interact, careful about the way that we speak, adding value with grace to those conversations. In a blunt, opinionated world where so many people think they need to declare absolutes with no consideration for the way, for the feelings or the quality of life of others, we need this reminder. As Paul has requested prayer for those who serve in leadership, he now encourages prayer for one another. It's a prayer that reflects Jesus's prayer for us. In John's chapter 17, if you have your Bible, your Bible app, let's look at that together. In John 17, 15, Jesus is talking with God. He's in prayer, in conversation with the Father about you and me. He says, "My prayer is not that you would take them out of this world, but that you would protect them from the evil one." Wait a minute. What? Jesus is specifically clarifying with God that he wants us to be involved in the world that we live in, knowing that we are going to face the tumultuous forces of evil. And both before and after this, he tells us how we can engage the world. By paying attention to the Word of God, to God's truth, and trusting in the counseling, comforting power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that we are designed for greater promises of eternal life beyond this world as we know it. And then I want you to notice this as well. In Jesus' own life and ministry, in the book of Matthew, in chapter 9 and verse 36, he looks out to the people around him, and he notices that they are struggling against the effects of sin and evil. And we read this, that when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Are you catching this? The compulsion of the Father, the empowerment of the Spirit, and the example of Jesus Christ the Son are all focused on being involved in the world around us, coming alongside others. It is the means by which we function and have our meaning. The church doesn't have a mission. God's mission has the church. And at the SEMC, mission is everything we do. Serve, pray, respond in the grace of God. It's always spring at the SEMC, and this passage is one of the most informative towards fueling that purpose. So what do we do? What do we do with all of this? Well, let me give you three different places perhaps to start. The first is, maybe you realize that your prayer life is more like a dictation list to God, a shopping list. It's a to-do list that you leave with no relational context. You've neglected listening to God to get his perspective. So today you're going to make a commitment, a decision to spend some more time reading God's word with more consistency, daily even, taking time to listen first to what God is saying and learning more about his great love for you. Secondly, perhaps you recognize that, well, you might be quick to say to people that you're going to pray for them, or you might even put a little prayer icon on your social media feed. Your intercession, your prayer for others doesn't really extend beyond those brief moments. And so today you're going to be more intentional to read through the prayer list perhaps that we provide in the weekly e-bulletin. You're going to pray more intentionally for our leadership team so that we can discern the kingdom goals that God is providing to reach people who are helpless and hurting in our community. Thirdly, perhaps You're going to talk to God about someone in your community who could benefit from being blessed by our Shine 2020 campaign. You're going to engage your community, someone who needs kindness, who maybe they show kindness and servanthood to others despite the difficulty of their own circumstance, but they would benefit by being reminded that they reflect the image of God. Or perhaps someone who is struggling physically, financially, with their mental health, and they're helpless and they're hurting, and to know that Jesus has compassion on them, and now he's asking us to move forward into their world. Maybe today you're going to start praying about that. You know, this poppy is a visible reminder of the gratitude that we often fail to express with words for the freedoms that we have been granted through the sacrifice of others. Let me encourage you to find some time this Wednesday to reflect on that significance. But more importantly, as it relates to prayer, it is the unseen activity of your life that reflects the extent of gratitude that you have for the freedom from sin that Christ has given you. Prayer is the means by which we continue to honor his life and mission in this current world until he comes. In prayer, we unite with God. We partner with him. That devotion towards God invites reflection. It influences our behavior, and it inspires others to similar change. You know why? Because changing lives change lives. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for this reminder that you love us, that you desire for us to know about that love, and you've written it to us in so many different ways. And so we're thankful for the eternal Spirit-empowered Word of God. And we pray, Father, that you would forgive us for neglecting your voice in our lives, that you would forgive us for only putting out lists that we want you to fill without taking the time to understand your purposes and to align ourselves with the character of Jesus. God, we love you, and sometimes we don't really know quite how to express that, so we are thankful all the more for the power of the Spirit to interpret those feelings inside that we can't often articulate. And I pray, Father, that you would enliven people to be disciples of Jesus who are actively seeing their own lives being transformed by the Spirit of God and moved out to influence the lives of others. God, we thank you for the privilege that you give to us. We thank you for this country that we live in and for the freedoms afforded to us because of the sacrifice of many. As we go into this week, Father, would you create in us humble hearts of gratitude that are expressed towards others and lead others to also change their lives. Help us to point others to Jesus, we pray. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.